Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Hey guys, welcome back. Today we're going to be doing something just a little bit different. I've got Kim Spence Mullen with Your Story Speaks, and she's going to be here today actually interviewing me. And I'm going to share with you how I began with All-Star Missions. Some of you guys don't know, but in 2018, I stepped in as the next president of All-Star. And what I think is just incredible is the story that 28 and a half years ago, where it all began for me as a young high school student at the age of 15. And actually, I went on the very first trip with All-Star. And so I hope you enjoy as I share those first beginnings and the way that my life was marked by going with a discipleship ministry like All-Star. I started getting involved in church. We ended up going to this YC conference. And that's just a youth evangelism conference for students. It was in Indianapolis. Going to that conference was like a huge deal because I'd never done anything like that before. And I didn't know that there were lots of young people that love Jesus. Oh. And that there were lots of youth groups out there that had a lot of kids in them. Like, this was huge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know that I'd ever been to Indianapolis before that point. Kind of raised in small communities. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I had a very small worldview mm-hmm. of what actually happened in the world. And so going to this conference was like, I could not believe. Worship, the speakers, the challenges, the quiet time they gave us. Me, it was like, whoa, this is crazy. Everything that I could imagine, it was like all on steroids. Mm-hmm. They needed a chaperone, and so my mom volunteered to go. So we're at that conference, and this speaker gets on stage. He begins talking about missions, and he begins to share the story from John 9, where Jesus healed the man that had been born blind. He's got these buckets on the stage, and he's got dirt in them, like soil, and he puts his hand in the bucket, and he starts spitting in the dirt, and he starts making this mud ball, and as he's doing that, he's talking about how God is calling my generation to get their hands dirty for the glory of God. And I mean, I remember standing there and just, I felt like he was talking directly to me. Mm-hmm. Like he was telling me, God's calling you. Mm-hmm. God's speaking to you. You're the generation. You're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about going, right? Like that was so outside my worldview. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And as I'm standing there, I'm gripping the seat in front of me like hard because I want to move forward, but I am so shy. You know, my daughter Grace now, like when she was little, she would hide behind my leg mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was me. Like I was very shy, but I was very kind of backwards and I had no confidence. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that I could do anything. I felt like I wasn't very smart. I really didn't have a capacity to believe that God could use me. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm feeling the Holy Spirit and I'm listening to this man up there speaking, Holy Spirit speaking to me, mm-hmm. like, I'm calling you. Mm-hmm. I want you to go. Like, you're called to do this. Mm-hmm. And I heard it and it was clear. Every lie from my past was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know where you come from? Don't you know your last name? Mm-hmm. And as I'm hearing that, you've been in foster care. God cannot use you. You know, and it's just, it's echoing in me. And there's this war inside of me holding on. And I'm hearing that and I don't move. Mm. Literally hundreds of, there's like 3,000 students at this conference. Hundreds are going forward, And I see them and they're getting dirt out of these buckets. They're making their own mud balls. I wanted a mud ball, but I was scared to go forward. Mm-hmm. I was paralyzed in fear. And I just stood there. And I knew what God was saying, but it felt like it was like a leap that was an impossible leap to make. Mm-hmm. And I remember that after the kind of the lights came on, the invitation was over, my mom turned to me and she said, Peggy, you're supposed to talk to that guy. And I was like, all right, no way. He just stood in front of 3,000 people like he's a celebrity, right? Mm-hmm. And that was way too big for me. But my mom has always, she's always been a woman that senses things from the Lord. And even though I don't believe she was walking with Jesus, I do believe that God will use the authorities in our life. Like, I mean, the word says, right, that he holds the heart of the king and he can turn it like a river, whichever direction he would choose. And I believe in that moment he was turning the heart of the king mm-hmm. because of the calling and the purpose over my life that I couldn't see, mm-hmm. but God saw. And it was a moment of where my story was now coming into conflict with the story that God wanted to write. Mm-hmm. As we're leaving that auditorium, the guy that had been on stage had a booth. And he was standing there talking to young people. And my mom says, let's get a flyer, a pamphlet. And I'm just like, I don't want to go up there. So she's going that way. I'm following her. She pushes me, literally pushes me into that speaker. And I like trip and like, it's so embarrassing, right? And he grabs a hold of me and he slaps a brochure in my hand. And he said, hi, how are you doing? And I don't think I said a word. Like, I was very, very shy. I'm like paralyzingly shy. And he puts that brochure in my hand. He says, God's calling you to Eastern Europe this summer and you need to go with me. And we walked away. That voice that I heard during the invitation came back to me. And I knew God was calling on me again. Got in that church van with the other students and all the way from Indianapolis to Palmyra, Indiana, an hour and a half drive. I read that brochure, every single word, even like the, you know, what they write on the publishing at the very end. Like every word on that brochure, I read it over and over and over again. And the next morning was Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And I went to church and I went to my pastor and I said, last night I felt God speak to me. And a man gave me this brochure, and I believe I'm supposed to do it. And like that was huge for me to step up and to say that. And he said, that's wonderful. And he says, I think you need to tell the church this morning what God has spoken to you. And I was like, what? There's only like 15 people in the church, right? And he calls me up Sunday morning to share about what happened the night before and to share about this brochure. And I get up there, and I'm a girl, and I just start crying. I'm like, God, stop me. I'm not doing this thing. And like, I think they're trying to translate, you know. But the church heard me, and they were so moved by me sharing what God had spoken. And probably most of them knew my situation and my background. Well, that church bought me my first passport. They raised the money for me to go on my first international mission trip. I think they saw that there was something, there was a call in my life. I think God put that on their heart for them to see that. Right there, everything in my life began to shift. I still didn't believe God could use me, believe it or not. God raised up over $3,000 from that little bitty congregation to send me to Budapest, Hungary. You know, I thought international missions was crossing the Ohio River from Indiana to Kentucky, right? Like that was international for me. Mm-hmm. I'd never been on an airplane. I'd never been out of the country. I'd only been to maybe one other state. This was so big for me. Before I knew it, I was on a plane to Atlanta, Georgia for training and then to go to hop on a plane to my first international mission trip. And I was scared out of my mind. We did this drama on the street. I was not a drama person. I was shy, backwards. Like, I didn't do stuff like this. Uh-huh. And so it was just really, really scary. But again, I knew, I kept going back to God had called me to this. And I feel like that sometimes when we're going against the tide, God puts daring faith in us. You know, he deposits this grace in us mm-hmm. for us to do things that are past our capacity. And we may not know it in the moment, but he's the one orchestrating it. You know, I went on that trip, and it was on that trip that I believe everything shifted in my life. First of all, I learned how to have a quiet time. I started getting discipled. And up till that point, I had good people in my life, you know, from the church that were trying to speak into me. Mm-hmm. And they would do Bible studies and things like that. But there's a big difference of hearing a Bible study and setting in on that and actually being discipled.
Yeah.
And the intentionality of the discipleship that happened to me on this trip is what revolutionized my life. I started documenting what I was seeing God do, started journaling. I began to read passages and then people that could help me understand it, but I started memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. For the very first time, I was hiding God's word in my heart, and that was huge because I actually didn't know how to combat the lies. But the more that I hid the Word of God in my heart, that when the lies would come, truth would pop up.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know how to use the truth against the lies yet, but that truth was gaining ground in my mind. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it shifts the way you think. Mm-hmm. The enemy loses power the more that we put truth inside of us. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening on this trip. Mm-hmm. And then the ministry was, they would give you this knowledge, but then they would move you towards skills.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we see in the church that, right, that there's a lot of knowledge that people have,
mm-hmm.
but people don't actually have skills to apply that knowledge and actually use it, you know, to advance God's kingdom or to actually step into their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was learning the truth of God's word. I was having a daily quiet time. I was worshiping with other believers. We were talking about the things of God. My environment changed. I was in another country, and now I was being challenged with actually verbalizing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was on-the-job training in missions.
Wow.
But actually, it was on-the-job training discipleship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just about sharing the gospel with these people. It was about me learning how to live the lifestyle of a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really was the lifestyle of a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
So we were being challenged with going out. So I was watching this modeling, all these other people sharing their testimony. They made us write a 3-minute testimony. You know, I listened to the other testimonies to determine what I would put in mine.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to share my real testimony.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't out of it yet.
No. So literally on this trip, my mom is still with my stepdad, and we are losing our farm.
Mm.
And our home was auctioned off while I was on this trip.
Wow.
I came home and my mom and stepdad separated, and we were homeless.
Mm.
My whole world at home was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on this mission, and I'm not thinking about at home.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrified in the moment of what I'm having to do, right?
Yeah.
Because this is so outside of anything that's comfortable for me.
Yeah.
This is scary, but exciting at the same time.
Sure.
And so I got up and did my 3-minute testimony, and then it was my turn to lead a ministry team. So we would do this drama on the street, and I was a mime in the drama, just so you know, because I was so shy and so backwards.
So it fit your personality.
Personality, right? No acting career coming
up.
This particular day, we went to the red light district of Budapest, Hungary. Now, mind you, I'd already seen God move. There were times that we were to be shut down, and God didn't let us get shut down. You know, I had already seen other people leading people to Jesus. I was amazed. Like, I was amazed at the gospel and how it worked,
mm-hmm.
and that it did work.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's crazy,
I
just couldn't believe. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why haven't I known this my whole life?
Mm-hmm.
Why hadn't people shown me this or told me this? Or why aren't we doing this, right? But now is my time to actually share with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared. It was awesome watching everybody else, but it was really terrifying doing it myself for the first time. Go to the red light district. Never met a prostitute before. I'd never been to really inner city anything.
Mm-hmm.
Small town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go in and you can see pimps and prostitutes and drug deals happening. And it's just dark. And here's the thing that I realized on my first mission trip is that I actually could identify darkness.
Mm.
I think because I grew up in so much darkness,
mm-hmm.
I really knew what darkness looked like.
Mm.
And so I had a sensitivity to it. And so when I was in the light,
mm-hmm.
I knew the difference.
Yeah.
And so when I would go to areas where there was a lot of oppression and darkness, I could see it. And I could feel it because I knew the atmosphere of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were moving into this prostitute park. I feel the weight of the darkness. I know it's there. It's like a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
We do our drama, and now it's my turn to lead this ministry team. And I've got a prayer person with me, and I've got a distractor because dogs and everything else comes out when you start sharing the gospel. All these distractions come out. And I'm looking for, who does God want me to go to? And I see these two girls. They look pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we get done. They do something called, they draw the net after the drama's over. They just briefly share the gospel, and then they send you out, and they say, our students want to talk with you for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go out, and we have this card. It's in English and Hungarian. And they've taught us how to read it in Hungarian, but I'm butchering it, like, really bad, right? So I go up to these two girls. I take out my card and I say, "You want to put Kivano?" My name is Peggy, and that's all I know. And and then I start trying to read it in Hungarian, and I'm doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And we have a translator named Luisa, and she sees me. She came over there, and she was like, "Peggy, let me translate for you." And I was like, "Awesome, okay." Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, I have a little more freedom, and I was like, "So." And so I just share with these women. So I just want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he's got a plan for you. And that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And the more that I'm talking, I'm watching the eyes of these two girls. Because I grew up in, you know, very violent kind of upbringing, I can read faces. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching their expression, their scowl on their face, and they're getting angry. They have angry eyes, you know, and I'm seeing that. And so I finally stop talking, and I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but I see the anger. And then one of them just starts going off at me in Hungarian. And then Luis is kind of backing up, and she starts translating everything that this girl's saying. And she said, "Do you think we like being prostitutes?" Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking outside, I don't think so. And I've never met a prostitute before, but I don't think that you do. And she says, "No, we don't." I said, "But everything you're saying, we've cried out to your God. We have asked him to help us and to take us out of prostitution. You know, we have children we have to feed. The only way that we can feed them is to sell our bodies. Your God has done nothing for us." And they're angry at me for even presenting the idea of God. And they're angry at God because he has not met them. And they're doing this because they love their children. Mm-hmm. They're not wanting to be prostitutes, mm-hmm. but it is the result of the fact they can't feed them unless they do. And I'm standing there and I'm listening to this and I'm 15 and I've not really shared the gospel before. All of the sudden, as I'm listening and I'm watching what's happening, something rises up in me. And I remember that I looked at this girl and this confidence came over me. It was not mine. I promise you, I didn't have it. But it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, "The Bible says that if God will provide for the birds of the air, how much more will he provide for his children? You say that you've cried out to God, but the Bible says in John 14:6 that Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man or woman can come into God except through him. You say you've cried out to God, but the Bible says that you don't have access to God because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe God heard your prayer, and he sent me all the way from America to come here to this park this day to stand before you so that you could have access to God. He sees your children. He knows that you want to meet their need, and he knows that you want out of prostitution. And so he has sent me to share with you that there is no other name in heaven and earth that a person can be saved except the name of Jesus. And I believe today that if you will cry out to Jesus, he will meet you in your need." Mm. And the girls, they broke and they just started weeping. And then I'm crying and Luis is crying and they're like, yes, like we want Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like we want this. And so I'm like, okay, well, then we got to pray. And then they had taught the sinner's prayer. And so I'm leading them in the sinner's prayer, but they had also taught that prayer isn't what changes you. Yeah. Right? That it's the supernatural work that happens in your heart. So I'm trying to explain that to these girls, you know, that like we're going to pray this, and I want you to repeat this out loud because we're supposed to confess to others what God has done inside of us. Mm-hmm. And like if we don't deny him here, that he won't deny us before the Father. And so we're going to confess Jesus, but this is like a supernatural thing happening inside of you. Mm-hmm. And so they pray and we're crying and then we get their information, and then I give them information about a local church, and we hug and kiss because they like to kiss a lot. You know, and it was like this incredible moment that marked me because I realized it wasn't until that moment, right? God has provided over $3,000. God provided a passport. God, you know, put me on an airplane for the first time. God has taken me to this foreign country, right? With all of these strangers that I don't really know. Yeah. He's done all of this. And I still didn't believe that he could use me, right? Isn't that insane? Yeah, right? Like I've seen him move so powerfully, but inside there was still belief system in me that I was unusable for God. Mm. He had set me up for a home run, and I was blinded to it. But when those women broke and they gave their life to Jesus, I realized in that moment that God could use me. And it, like, blew me away. And I remember after that, I was so excited. And I just, it was like this boldness started coming on me. There was one place I knew I could have confidence mm-hmm. because I knew those words weren't mine.
Yeah.
They were his.
Yeah.
Right. And so for the next couple of weeks, you know, I'm going out and I'm still sharing the gospel, but I'm getting boldness as I'm doing it. I don't know, probably about 2.5 more weeks go by, and it's toward the end of the trip, and we're getting ready to leave the country, and we go back to that red light district, and we go back to that prostitute park because it's an ever-changing crowd, right? Mm-hmm. And so we go back there, and this time, I mean, I'm like ready for the darkness, you know? I'm like, we're going to pierce it. We go in there, but I'm like a prayer person this time. Mm-hmm. I don't even get to preach the gospel at this place. And so, but I'm supposed to pray for that person. And I did. I really prayed because I saw prayer was powerful and that it worked. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in my ministry team and somebody's sharing the gospel. I'm praying. And as I'm standing there, somebody grabs my shoulder and like they start turning me around and they start kissing me. Like in a prostitute park, you do not want to be kissed, right? And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And somebody's kissing me. And in Europe, they like to kiss a lot. And so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And and then I hear Louisa yelling my name, Peggy, Peggy, Peggy. And she's crying and she's running over to me. And I'm like, Louisa, what's going on? You know? And then I'm looking and it's two women, but they look different. You know, I'm not recognizing them right away. And she goes, Peggy, Peggy, this is Louisa. Peggy, these are the women. These are the women. And I'm like, Louisa, what women? She says, don't you remember when we were here before, the two women that we prayed with? And I was like, yes, yes, yes. Okay. But they look different. She says, you have to hear what happened. And so they had already seen Louisa, mm-hmm. and they had already talked with her. And they said, where's Peggy? Where's the girl that we prayed with? Mm-hmm. And they didn't think they would ever see me again. And they were walking past the park, and they saw our drama team there. Because we had a big PA speaker that it was loud, and they had heard the music to the drama. And they knew it was us. They walked over there. Mm-hmm. They found Louisa. And they says, we want to talk to Peggy and tell her what happened to us the night after we prayed to receive Jesus. And so they were over there. And so Louisa is starting to translate again. We're all crying again. And they begin to say that very day after they left the park that they went home. And that night they knelt beside their bed. Mm-hmm. And this time they cried out in the name of Jesus mm-hmm. that he would provide a way for them to get out of prostitution. They didn't want to do it anymore. And they knew that God had begun this work in their life and they really wanted to walk in it. As they were praying, when they said amen, they said their phone rang. And they walked over to the phone, and there was someone on the other line that had gotten their numbers. They didn't know this person, but he offered them a job to be out of prostitution. Mm. And that very night, everything shifted for them. And they left prostitution. They took this other job. They took the pamphlets we had given them. They had started going to the church. Mm. And so they had been going to the church for these 2 weeks.
Wow.
They were walking past, and when they saw, they heard the music and all that, they came over, and they wanted to say thank you. Mm. I was like blown away. Mm. And it was in that moment that not only did I know now that God could use me, mm-hmm. but I realized that God could use anybody. Mm. And something in me shifted. It wasn't just he used my life in being able to share with somebody.
Yeah.
But transformation had happened. Mm. I had literally watched two women go from darkness to light, mm-hmm. to go from bondage to freedom, mm-hmm. and that the gospel, meeting Jesus, rescued them out of prostitution.
In a matter of days. I mean, hours.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it painted this picture of the faithfulness of God that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
He really would back up what he said.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was shaken. I was changed. Like I literally was changed. I was marked on this trip. Mm. So when I came home, I was a different kid. Mm. But you know what I remember about coming home? It was the fact I had a purpose.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, it's like I knew why I was alive.
Yeah.
I knew why I was born. I knew why I existed. That God had an assignment for me. He had a mission over my life, and that this hope that I had experienced in Jesus was much bigger than what I thought. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about God loving me.
Yeah.
It was about me experiencing his love and giving that love to others. Mm-hmm. And that purpose began to drive me. And so I came home and I stood in front of my church again. Mm-hmm. And this time, though, I shared this story. I shared it like I was amazed it ever happened to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, and I was so excited. And then I'm like, all of y'all need to come to Hungary with me. All of us, we've got to go back. There's more people that have to hear the gospel. And like, my church, it lit a fire in my church. Mm-hmm. They started telling other people. And then before I knew it, I was going to the Methodist church. I was going to the Church of Christ. I was going to another youth group. And I was going to the Assembly of God church. I mean, I was going to all these different churches. And I was sharing this one story. Finally, a pastor was like, so do you have any other stories? And I was like, I don't actually. That's the only one I've got. That's it. And it was almost like the rest of the trip, it was like put out of my mind.
Yeah.
Because this one thing marked me. I hope as you listen that your heart was encouraged. You know, when I was 15 years old, that's when everything changed in my life, being introduced to a discipleship ministry that really cared about me, but also cared about the nations. And I want to encourage you that if you have a young person in your life, if you're a mom, a dad listening, a youth pastor or pastor, and you want to see your church lit on fire, the first thing I'd tell you is invest in this generation. The second thing I would say, get them on mission. Get them involved with an organization like All-Star, where they're going to be developed, they're going to be discipled, they're going to be equipped, but they're going to be challenged, and they're going to have opportunities to not only grow personally, but they're going to have opportunities to put all of that knowledge that they're growing in the Word of God and that fellowship and worship and prayer, they're going to have an opportunity to put that to skills as they go out and do evangelism. So I would encourage you, check All-Star Missions out. You know, this is where this ministry began. I was on the very first trip, and my life was marked forever. Who could imagine that 25 years, when the president and founder of All-Star retired, that one of the students from the very first trip would be stepping in as the next president? Only God can set those things up. But I am even more passionate as I watch young people of this generation engage in mission. When I see them get developed and discipled and equipped, they're unstoppable for the cause of Christ. And the gospel is being advanced with this generation. So I want to encourage you, check us out. Allstar.org, that's where you need to go. There's multiple opportunities to get your young people involved, but it is time to invest in the generation that could be the very generation that ushers in the return of Jesus. God bless you guys, and thank you so much for listening.